Tasvis, it goes along with it. Pointer, when the fish swim through, the water is muddied. When the birds fly by, feathers drop down. He clearly discriminates host and guest. He penetratingly distinguishes initiate and outsider, just like a bright mirror in its stand, like bright pearl in the palm of the hand. When the native comes, a native is reflected. When the foreigner comes, a foreigner is reflected. The sound is obvious. The form is evident. But say, why is it like this? As a test, I am citing this old case. Look. Case. A monk asked Ta Sui, the conflagration at the end of the eon sweeps through and the universe is totally destroyed. I wonder, is this one destroyed or not? Sui said, it is destroyed. The monk said, if so, then this goes along with it. Sui said, it goes along with it. This case, the point of this per case, teaches us what the truth is. If you use Buddhist technical term, what is the Buddha nature? What the Dhamma is, or what the Buddha is, or sometimes we use the right words like view. Anyway, what is right is? This is a little bit difficult for us to understand because we get used of thinking of human life, understanding human life in common sense. Common sense means a dualistic world. Very common sense of right or wrong, good or bad. From this common sense, it's very difficult to understand what real truth is. So anyway, this case tried to teach us a total picture of the truth. Dhamma, we call it Dhamma. So if you become a Buddhist, you have to believe in the Dhamma. But this Dhamma is a philosophical term. But this Dhamma, truth is, where is it? It is with us. So that is, friendly speaking, it is reality. Big scale of the reality. Where you are, constantly, completely beyond, you think or you don't think. Your life is really going on right in the middle of a big scale of the realities. Okay? Whoever you are, good person or bad person or so-so. Anyway, all sentient beings exist like this. So, Dhamma is, what is the picture of the Dhamma? Means what is the picture of the real reality where you are present day by day. So this is a purpose of this case. Okay. First of all, let's see the pointer. When the fish swim through, the water is muddy. When the birds fly by, feathers drop down. This is, what would you say, the human conduct, well, usually conduct or deeds have their own purpose. Whatever you do, you cannot do anything without their purpose, a meaning, okay? Meaningfulness. For instance, if you want to do Zazen or if you want to practice a certain religious life, at that time, for what? Always you ask like this. So this is very common, very common. So from this point, broadly speaking, the human doings have their own purpose of success or failure, good or bad, right or wrong, pro and con, benefit or loss, always. Because simultaneously both success and failure, good and bad, pros and cons, always exist in equality, okay? Inequality. You cannot catch only success, okay? You cannot take hold of only success, ignoring failure, because failure and success exist in equality at the same level. So called Dharma. Anyway, this is Buddhist teaching always explained like this, philosophically, etc. If you study little by little, if you through the practice, you can touch it a little bit. Okay? What the reality is, not intellectually, but through the practice, you can touch it. What is the real picture of the reality, where you are, so-called Dharma or Buddha nature, or whatever it is. Okay. But Buddhist teaching always giving the quality and the philosophically, logically, intellectually, as long as possible. Okay, no, as much as possible, your consciousness must be exercised to reach, to reach the ultimate state of human life. Okay, where the sometimes the human consciousness comes to the dead end. Okay. Do you understand that your human consciousness constantly research something, but finally you can realize the end of the knowledge, end of the world, where your consciousness can reach anyway. So anyway, Buddhism always given the information to you, how much your knowledge, your consciousness can reach. What? Through and through, anyway. That is the Buddhist teaching, anyway. But through the practice, you can touch a little bit and see what real reality, through the practice. So, one of the Buddhist teaching is the teaching of the cause and the effect. In common sense, cause and effect is state of existence going in the time process, okay? Cause and effect. So cause and effect seems to be separated. But in Buddhism, cause and effect is anyway same. A cause and effect exist at the same time. For instance, if you say white, white immediately brings on black. If you say father, father implicates a child, mother implicates a child. So from this point, you cannot always take hold of only white, ignoring the black. Even though you try, already black exists, you know, with you simultaneously. If you say red, there is another color simultaneously. This is the same on one level, okay, where all sentient beings exist. This is a so-called truth or dharma itself. So, same apply to the success and the failure. If you say success, then success implicates in the failure. So, if you are successful in doing something, always there is, it forces you to continue to try to be successful. You can't stop it. You can't sit on that chair, so-called success. So constantly you want to go more, because unconsciously you fear failure, and because failure completely exists with the success, consciously or unconsciously. So that's why cause and effect simultaneously exist. Same times, the black becomes a cause, and white becomes effect. And simultaneously, white becomes a cause, and black becomes the effect. So interpenetrate. They interpenetrate. Constantly. This is the real state of existence. So, from this point, when the fish swim through, the water is muddied. Well, water, you know pretty well. So, success, simultaneously, well, water becomes muddy, so-called failure. And when birds fly by with a drop down, so pros and cons, success and failure, good and bad, always there. So this is very, this is a real picture of human existence, wherever you may go. He clearly discriminates host and guest. Host and guest, right, the wrong, and the good, about, right, wrong. Anyway, this is a host and guest. So, he clearly discriminates. So, if you see your human life, very naturally you can see your life, but discriminately, so-called dualistic, host and guest, success, failure. He penetratingly distinguishes initiate and outsider. This is so-called black and white and simultaneously, and priest and not priest, you know. And woman, man and woman, always like this. So he penetratingly distinguishes initiate and outsider. just like a bright mirror in its stand. Just like a mirror in its stand. Immediately, if you see the success, simultaneously failure there. Simultaneously. Like bright pearl in the palm of the hand. Well, this is just like the pearl in your hand. Means if you say, I got it, so-called success. What simultaneously there is so-called failure and also pros and cons and impermanence always in your hands. Or in the other hand, or another example is if you have something in your mind, even though you don't want to express, but whatever you do, walking and talking and always that appears in the realm of your doings. If you feel melancholy, so very naturally you can walk on the street and hanging down your head. If you feel proud of yourself, always your head is going up, looking at the sky. So very naturally, if you have something in your mind, always it appears. It appears in your doings in many ways, physically and mentally. People know. So many people practicing at the Zen Center, but even though you don't say anything, sometimes I can see what you are feeling, what your life will be. Sometimes I cannot, but sometimes I can see. So sometimes it comes to be true. Sometimes it's not. It's very interesting because you always express this. You always express your feelings, your mind, and always, even though you don't say it. So, if you have, it looks like holding the pearl in your hand. So it's very clear, but you always pearl it in your hand. It seems not to appear in your life, but it's really there. It's really there. So that's why it says when a just like a bright pearl in the palm of the hand. When a native comes, a native is refracted. When a foreigner comes, a foreigner is refracted. This is just like a mirror in its stand. So always there, very clearly appears. So your life is just like a mirror. Just like a mirror. So nothing to be hidden. So the sound is obvious, the form is evident. This is just like a bright pearl in the palm of your hand. The sound is obvious. Sound, you don't say anything, but sound is in your hand, just like a pearl. But it seems to be covered with your hand, but it appears. Obvious sound is obvious. And the form is evident, very naturally the form is evident, even though you don't say anything, its voice appears as a form. This is your life, creating your life. But say, why is it like this? As a treat, as a test, I am citing this old case. Look. So from this point, anyway, according to Poynter, We have to know our life like this. Our life is anyway supported by what's so called just like a big lump of huge lump of burning energy above, right, or wrong, success and failure are melted into one. Anyway, this is your life, exactly. And supporting whatever happens, wherever you may go, your life is supported like this. Big, huge lump. So you try to escape from Zen Center because you don't like Zen Center, so escape. But even though you escape from Zen Center, well, you have to carry your life, you know. Temporarily you can keep away from Zen Center, but it doesn't change your life anyway. So you should escape from nothing. It seems to be to escape. Nothing to escape. Because if you go somewhere, you should go with you anyway. Who is going? Going away. You are going away. So temporarily you can say, I keep away from Zen Center, but it is just a speck of dust, which seems to make your life success satisfactory, but I don't think so. Wherever you may go, you are you. Same things. You don't like a cold weather, so you want to go to California. California is wonderful, but California weather doesn't make you satisfactory and happy anyway. Of course, it makes you happy sometimes, but it is just a temporary. Temporary, it makes you happy. Okay. But that happiness doesn't last for long anyway. So, wherever you may go, your life is your life exactly the same. So you should carry you on your back. So if you practice like this, very naturally you can see this. Through Zazen, you can see your life in a universal perspective. Universal perspective. All sentient beings exist like this. So you really appreciate it. Okay? And then we put a certain name on it. This is called Truth or God or Dharma. Sometimes, philosophically, we say right. Sometimes we say emptiness. So, but this is a questionable. So many religions really are stuck in this concept, so-called, you know, the a certain concept. In the certain concept, Buddha, Dharma, or God, or right, or truth. Truth is one, but this is nothing but the concept you believe. So you have to be careful once more again. What is the truth? Which is one? So truth is one is not a concept. It is something real, okay, real. So you have to pay careful attention to it. So that's why he says, why is it like this? Why is it? Why is it a huge lump of burning energy to support you? Why? How? Okay. If you realize it, that is the end, that is the purpose of a spiritual life. So, the case, a monk asked Tasui, the conflagration at the end of the eon sweeps through and the universe is totally destroyed, I wonder is this one destroyed or not. This one means the truth or Dharma. The conflagration at the end of the eon sweeps through and the universe is totally destroyed. In the commentary, it says there was a monk who asked the conflagration at the end of the eon sweeps through and the universe is totally destroyed. I wonder, is this one destroyed or not? This monk just came up with a question based on an idea in the teachings. In the teachings, it says formation, abiding, destruction, emptiness. When the age of these four are four phases, an eon goes through. Yeah, according to traditional Buddhist traditional cosmology, Okay, the formation. Something comes into existence, the formation, existence. Next, abiding. Then as long as it comes into existence, it has naturally a certain time and space that is to abide. A distraction, next, it doesn't last for long. Very naturally, it is destroyed. It's gone, disappeared. And next, emptiness. So eon goes through like this, according to the Buddhist traditional cosmology. So whole world is going like this. A huge lump of burning energy is what? Huge lump of the burning energy is going through these four phases. Formation, abiding, destroy, destruction, and emptiness. Constant. That's it. So when the age of triple cataclysm occurs, the destruction reaches to the third meditation heaven means you reach the certain stage of Zazen where you never be carried away by intellectual thinking and emotional thinking. Anyway, emotionally or intellectually you are free from. Anyway, so when the age of the triple cataclysm occurs means destruction. Formation, abiding, destruction, the third one. When the third one occurs, the destruction reaches to the third meditation heaven. So you can reach to this stage. Basically, this monk didn't know the meaning of this statement. He didn't know that. Well, that means, for instance, first of all, this one is what? This one is what? Truth is what? Well, Dharma is what? Buddha nature is what? But even though no matter how long you explain the truth, or using the obvious truth, you get use of really listening and using the term and truth and God, the Buddha, the Dharma. So if I use the Dharma and the Buddha, you say, oh yes. You seem to understand it, but you don't. You don't understand. You are completely cheated by term. You think so? Yeah, everyone is. Completely, drunken by concept of the Dharma, Buddha, and God, and the right, etc. So what is this? You don't know what it is. But why monk ask like this? This monk have never known about what this one is. Why can he make questions like this? It looks like the note, English note says when things is this one, no one on earth can get a hold of this phrase. He scratches in advance. He scratches in advance, anticipating the itchy. Very interesting note, you know. Where's the truth, you know? Of course, we are supported by the truth, you know. And when I die, the truth is with me, or truth is separate from me. How much do you understand the truth? But that question is very interesting. We always question like this, but you don't know exactly. It looks like scratching your back, expecting itchy. But actually, you don't do it in that way. First, you have to scratch. You should feel itchy, you know, and then scratch, because you know already itchy, you know. Do you understand? So this is then. So he said, this monk says, I wonder is this one destroyed or not? So truth, or Dharma, or your spirit, soul, okay? Soul. When you die, soul is gone, or soul is separated from you, or soul exists from? The same questions. But what is the soul? You don't know the soul, but you use for many, many years, you know. From century after century, people use the soul. Soul and the spirit and the Buddhas, Dharmas, etc. But you have never known before. Because you have never experienced the death. So how do you know the soul exists after death? So, Sui said it's destroyed. It's completely destroyed. Truth is, I told you before, you should know the picture of a human life supported by the huge lump of good and bad red line, okay? In other words, phenomenal world and human world, and also truth. Same things. Truth and phenomenal world. Those two are completely melt into one, just like a huge lump of burning energy. At that time, phenomenal worlds are destroyed, and then truth is what? Truth is exist after destruction, or truth is gone with destruction? This is an interesting question, isn't it? But the a huge lump of burning energy doesn't distinguish between phenomenal world and the truth, because nothing but the energies supporting, creating something anyway. So only human consciousness always separates and analyzes, put together. And like say, this is the philosophy, psychology, and there are lots of things there. This is a characteristic of human consciousness. Immediately you do this. So, real truth that if you see a huge lump of the burning energies, whatever you say, phenomenal world, it's destroyed. Because it's nothing but the energies. So there is no space to put a certain concept in it. Do you understand? It's burning. If you touch it, it's burning. If you're ignoring, you're frozen. This is your life. So constantly there. But you cannot put any concept on it. So that's why whatever you say, truth is destroyed or truth exists. That is nothing but the concept. So, the master says it's destroyed. It's really destroyed. If you do that, then very naturally you should know total picture of your Zazen. Okay? I will tell you tomorrow what is the right samadhi. Well, if you do that, then very naturally you know. You know, you always think that, well, perfect concentration, or not perfect concentration, or you are right on the concentration, or you are out of the concentration. You always think this. You always see these ideas. But those are nothing but the concept fabricated by your consciousness. Just like looking at the puppet show. But you cannot judge your Zazen by puppet stage. Okay? You should know the total picture of your life, including your puppet show head, so-called head. Your head is really puppet stage. You know, you can see the lots of things, you know, past, present, future. If you sit down immediately, wonderful show comes up. Beautiful, melancholy, and sometimes nice pictures and shows there. And also, but simultaneously, who is watching this show? Where is the stage? So you cannot judge your life just according to the world puppet show stage. But usually we really judge our life through puppet show. But that is pretty hard to make you stand up straight in your life. So all you have to do is to understand the total picture, including puppet stage and puppets, and what lookers on, and also whole situations. Anyway, you have to understand. So, always you create the right being right on the concentration or out of the concentration. This is nothing but the puppets you are watching. But going beyond this, where you are. You are just sitting right now. It's very quiet, don't you think so? It's very quiet. Right now right here, but simultaneously not right now right here. Within the right now right here, whole world exists. Because noise of the cars doesn't bother you. The singing of the bird singing doesn't bother you other than. So trees, cold winds, doesn't bother. The whole world is extended from within this one moment. You know, this is real picture. So that's reality. That is real reality. You cannot know. You can't pin down what it is. It is rather than based on being right on the concentration, right concentration, or out of concentration. This is nothing but the concepts. Beyond the concept, you are constantly sitting there. It's very peaceful and harmonious with all sentient beings. Well, this is the so-called Daijo Mahayana. Mahayana means a big vehicle, okay? Lots of vehicles, you know, the bicycles. Bicycle is a vehicle you can ride just for one person, okay? But you have to get the huge vehicles, okay? Horse pasture, I say, is something, horse pasture, huge horse pastures. You know, all sentient beings exist there in peace and harmony. So that is when you do the thing immediately, regardless of whether you are conscious of it or not, you are simultaneously drawn into, anyway, huge vehicles. But consciousness cannot reach theirs. Because consciousness has been tamed for many, many years by understanding in common sense, so-called dualism. But it's very hard to understand. That's why we have to anyway practice. Sit down, return to the center, return to the center, return to the center anyway. And then not only the returning to the center, and then next you have to make your life work from the center anyway. From the center. Center must be alive in your daily life. So that is a middle way, so-called middle way according to the Buddha. Middle way is just like a round ball. Wherever you make a center is there. Okay? So rolling, at that time you can roll in all directions. Center is center, constantly. Kesho is center. Bow, center. You must be ball, okay? Eating meal, must be ball. Center is in the center of the ball. But if you don't, it seems to be nice because you always do on your way. If I say do gassho in proper way, you don't like it because your life is limited. But this is pretty good for you anyway. Get out from fishy smell. And then very naturally you can realize who you are. And this is a Samatha, we say Samatha, concentric centers, you know. And simultaneously, you can't always handle your life with the center in the center of the ball. Okay? Center must be alive. Okay? So, this center becomes a torpedo, you know. Center is in the top. Shoo, you know, torpedo, you know the torpedo. So when you do gassho, you must do gassho. Torpedo means moving, okay? Torpedo means action process itself. You have to move. Torpedo is not the center of the ball, okay? Center of the ball is a chamata, but the torpedo, center of the torpedo is, anyways, vipassana. Vipassana means a very deep understanding, which is sharp, and go very stably and very strongly, it's go. It's make your life alive. It's pretty hard, but it's very sharp. This is so-called wisdom anyway. Okay? So, from this point, the Zen master says it is destroyed. And then the monk said, if so, then this goes along with it. This, it means, we'll just say the discipline, principle of origination or extinction, extinction and origination, appear, disappear, appearance and disappearance. So, if the two, this one is destroyed, when the world is destroyed, it means that the truth goes with impermanence, with others, something else. That is really dualistic, you think so? For instance, I told you your total picture is supported by the huge lump of good or bad, right or wrong, the two concepts are melted into one, okay? At that time you say, this is the truth. This is the truth. But that is a concept, or you are already respecting this concept of the truth. So you must be real truth. For this, you must be right in the middle of the truth. So that's why, what is the truth? Truth is nothing to be put a certain concept on, because burning energy. So, philosophically we say emptiness. But in a good sense, that is full aliveness. Full aliveness. Make your life full. Basically. That's why you can survive. Whoever you are, as long as you exist in this world, you will survive. So, if so, then this goes along with it. This monk is already stuck in the dualism, but he doesn't know. He doesn't realize. That's why the Sutta says it goes along with it. That means completely, you have to be completely destroyed. You have to be free from the concept of the truth you have understood. You have to be free from concept of what you have experienced. Anyway, when I went to a Zen center last year, someone says, do you believe in reincarnation? So I said, oh yes. Now how do you know? So I said, well, you should prepare for the next morning breakfast tonight with your whole heartedness, and then you can know reincarnation. And then some people feel pretty good, because after that he said, your explanation is pretty warm, humanistic warm. But at the other end, the Bhikkhuji said, they asked the Bhikkhuji this same question. He says, nothing. Nothing. It is really true. Nothing, there is nothing after death, reincarnation, no reincarnation, he said, nothing. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Of course, nothing. But if I say nothing, if a big word say nothing, you really stuck in the nothing. So he continues to say nothing. That's pretty hard, but it's very important. For instance, there is a koan. Ganto was asked by the monk, I have carried the nothing on my back, so-called emptiness, enlightenment, So Shri Ganto says, well, why don't you put down that emptiness on the ground? And the monk says,
I have carried nothing at all. How can I put it down here? He says, if you have it on your back, please carry it back to your home. Do you understand it? This is a very important point that most people don't realize. If you really believe something, you really believe it. If you believe, a belief makes you blind sometimes. So belief is important, but you must be free from belief. At that time, real belief appears. That is your life. It's really life. That's why this Zen master says, secondly, he continually says, it goes along with it. Means completely destroyed. Means you must be continually free from concept, what you have understood, what you have experienced, what you have thought, whatever it is. Anyway, you must be free from it. That is a what? Gassho is what? Form of dance. Okay? Form of ballerinas. Just like a form of ballerinas. Ballet. Dancing. What is your life? Your life is just like a dancing, you know, at the stage. As a ballerina. From this, if you really attach to this form of dance, you really feel artificial. But truth doesn't exist without this form of dance, because truth and dance, form of dance, are exactly the same. That's why the real beauty of its art must be found in the realm of form of dance you have performed from moment to moment anyway. That's why you say beautiful dance. Do you understand? But a form of dance is nothing but the impermanent. Constantly appears, disappears. So how can I take hold of it? Nothing. So whatever you say, reincarnation is really teaching real truth? Yes or no. Whatever you say, it's just like a form of dance. But simultaneously, anyway, whatever you say, reincarnation or not reincarnation, or success and failure, anyway, you have to let go of it. At that time, you really find the real beauty of its art, so-called life, including your life and others' life. This is the art of life. The art of life. So, that's why monk, the teacher, anyway, said finally it goes along with it. In the commentary, it says, according to the Engel's notes, the first arrow was still light, but the second arrow was deep. Means the first arrow means the monk said. The monk said, if so, then this goes along with it. This is a fast arrow. This is still, you know, the light means, according to dualism, he understands anyway, because he experienced spiritual life. Okay. He experienced a huge lump of burning energy supporting his life constantly. So he really appreciated, and he really appreciated his life. He really appreciated all sentient beings' life. But it's still light. So he has to be free from this understanding. So that's why second, the master says, yes, it goes along with it. This is the second hour. Second hour means you understand like this. Fine, wonderful. This is a faith. But you have to be free from it. Free from that. So, that is the second hour was really deep. Yes, all sentient beings are impermanence, emptiness. Yes, it is. If so, human life is, we shouldn't have any hope or just live for day by day. Nothing else. Yes, it's emptiness. Means you shouldn't be stuck in nihilism, nihilistic understanding. Or you shouldn't be anyway stuck in the not nihilistic. Anyway, emptiness means to make your life free from any concept, any ideas, any understanding. And pay attention to real reality where you are present right now. Because this right now is right now open to you and also open to all sentient beings. So life, real creative life, is right in the middle of moment, simultaneously, all sentient creative life of all sentient beings is also found right in the middle of moment. So your life comes from the moment, and also all sentient beings' life comes from moment. So moment is not your moment. Moment is huge world. So, this is what many people cannot find. So, usually that's why students in the Green Garden at the Zen Center in San Francisco didn't understand Baker Roach's point, you know. Constantly said nothing. But this second nothing is very deep, okay, but you don't understand. Just most of people don't understand what that means. So very naturally people misunderstand it, so-called nihilism. But I don't think so. When the water rises, the boats ride high. Anyway, you really let go of all sentient beings, all understanding, anyway, experiencing, at that time, you really manifest yourself in a broad scale, anyway. But you don't understand this. But this is really true. Anyway, sit down zazen. Without expectation, but it doesn't mean sucking your energies. Anyway, sit down with your body and mind. But when you do like this, exactly, you can be free from anyway, slack or tense or whatever it is. That time, you really find that you let the flower of life force bloom right in the middle of the zen. So, Dogen then says in Genjo Koan, if you use in a broad large scale, it becomes big. If you use it in a small scale, it becomes small. Do you understand? Well, if you use the other in a small scale, doesn't become a shrinking. Because that is your zazen. But zazen must be not your zazen. You should use zazen in a big scale. That time, zazen becomes big. You become big. Because what is zazen? Zazen is you. Because you do zazen. So you are zazen, zazen is you. So in order to use the zazen in a big scale, you must be big. So, just this is what so many people can find. When the water rises, the boat right high with a lot of mud, the Buddha image is big. Anyway, you can use lots of mud and you can make a big Buddha image. But most people don't know this because human beings are very egoistic. Ego means ignorance. Ignorance means you consciously or unconsciously you confine yourself into your shell. For instance, if you have some trouble in the relation with the people and the community and so forth, you really want to withdraw and be alone. You want to be alone and draw yourself into your shell. It seems to be wonderful, but it is nothing but the ego. Helping the ego. Helping the growth of ego. You don't know this. But if all important point is you should continue practice with all sentient beings anyway. Well, of course, through this, you experience lots of bitterness, but this is pretty good for us. So, I understand that's why Dogen Zenji doesn't recommend to retreat by yourself. Dogen Zenji constantly from the beginning to end practice together. This is very true because it is backed by philosophical meaning. Because no one exists alone. If so, if you want to live alone in the heart of the mountain, what for? That is supporting your ego, don't you think so? But actually ego doesn't make sense because your life actually supported by all sentient beings, even though you are in the heart of the mountain. But most of people don't realize this contradictory life where they are. So an important point is you have to tune in to the dial of this total picture of human life. Okay. So for this, even though you want to be retreated, that's fine, but it's not the main practice for us, main point. Even though it's hard, anyway, live together and practice together, helping all sentient beings. Anyway, it's hard. So, particularly if you deal with this kind of community, lots of muddiness. Because community is just like nothing but the culture created by human beings. You know. Just same as form of government, the form of community of psychology, community of philosophy, or whatever it is. Same things. So wherever you may go, when the people come together and to live together, at that time, very naturally, a certain form of culture is created. Within this, lots of muddiness here. No matter how long you emphasize this pure sense of practice, the emphasis of all this pure sense of practice, of course, but what is a pure sense of practice? Pure sense of practice is no longer the pure, because you emphasize strongly pure sense of practice, ignoring human entanglements, you know, human cultures, it says. Pure sense of practice doesn't exist, you know. In the pure sense of practice, ignoring the human life. So it must be found in the human life. So, next he says, if you say it goes along with that, where is it? Where is it? Where it is? Where is it going on? If you say that it doesn't go along with that, then what? Then what? Whatever you say, anyway, finally, you have to keep your mouth shut. Because you don't know. If you touch it, you'll burn out. If you ignore it, your life is frozen. So finally, you have to keep your mouth shut and constantly be going, be alive right on, right in the middle of real realities. So that's why finally you say, I will hit. I will hit means keep your mouth shut. Nothing to say. So that is your zazen. You do always. You do always. Anyway, keep your mouth shut, just be alive. In your zazen. So now from this point, this Zen master is very kind. Very kind to this monk, but I don't know this monk, whether this monk understood or not. And then in the commentary, there is a very interesting story here. Since the monk didn't understand that Ta Sui said, he inevitably had this matter on his mind. So he didn't understand actually what he said. He took this question straight to Monk To Tzu in Xu Chao, different teacher. You know, he went to see the different teacher and made the same questions to him. To Tzu asked him, where did you come here from? The monk says, from Ta Sui in western Sichuan. To Tzu said, what did Ta Sui have to say? The monk then recounted the former conversation. To Tzu burned incense and bowed and said, in western Sichuan, there's an ancient Buddha who has appeared in the world. So that To Tzu really said to this monk, Ta Sui was very kind Zen master for you anyway. Don't you realize it? Why don't you go home right now? So, as for you, hurry back to him. Anyway, go back to his temple immediately. The monk returned to Ta Sui, but Sui had already passed on. What the embarrassment for this monk. Maybe this is very common human life. When most people open their eyes, teachers die, pass on. Your parents pass on. The people you really follow, you really want to see, at that time people pass on. That's why we have to practice anyway. As soon as possible, you have to realize how wonderful this Zen master was. But if you don't, well, after his death, when you awaken yourself to yourself, teacher, a people you really want to see, pass on. This is very common. What the embarrassment for this monk. This is really embarrassment. The more you practice seriously, the more you see human life seriously, do you understand this? So, from this point, anyway, I don't have a particular pattern how to realize the truths or dharmas itself, but the important point is, anyway, don't drown yourself, into your shell. This is very common, so-called ego. Well, for instance, in this situation, priest life is almost the same as other people do. So you believe very naturally, I have a family, so I have some reason, okay? And then all it's, reason is very reasonable. Not to come, not to practice itself. Oh, I accept. But pay attention to this. Well, you say always, you always give your own reason. But sometimes it's reasonable, but sometimes by expressing your reason, you want to draw into your shell, don't you think so? Be happy. But I don't know, this is a happiness or not. Drawing into your shell is to help the growth of your ego anyway. Priest must be found this one anyway. At any time, under all circumstances, priest must realize this. So that's why even though you have some reason, you have to do it. Even though you don't like it, you do it. That's priya. But usual people, fine, that's all right. So, and also the Zen. When you listen to Buddha's teaching, particular priest, listen to Buddha's teaching, not listen to your ears, listen to your whole body. For this, how can you listen to Buddha's teaching with your whole body? Means you have to do the Zen with your whole body. But when I look at your Zen, your Zen is really sloppy. Say she is tired. Of course, it says she is tired. But honestly, if you want to priest or if you are priest, no way. Anyway, if you do the Zen, do the Zen with the whole body and mind. Okay? Remember this. I am sleepy and dizzy and you always make complaints. You know. But it is complaints. It is an excuse. You can anywhere wake up from this if you have great effort. So you don't know. You don't know where the way is. So listen to Buddha's teaching with your whole body means do the thing with your whole body. Anyway, zazen is not something I should force you to do zazen. Because you do zazen already. If you do that, then you do the Zen, okay? So thinking something in order to spend the time for 40 minutes and thinking something, that is wonderful, but it helps the growth of your ego, okay? Forget it anyway. Do the Zen with your whole body. Well, regardless of whether this zazen is to reach you to right in the middle of the truth or not, if you believe that, believe it. But forget it. You have to flee from it. What is this? Do it. Just do. Nothing but. Nothing but without doing. Okay? There is no other way to let you be present right in the middle of truth itself than to do it. Okay? This is a process. Okay? No space, no room to form something. Look at death. When you die, what is death? Can't you see this? Death is not form, concept. Death is a process anyway. That process of death is where? In the concept? In the death? No. In life. In the process of life. So what is a death? Death is life. So when you see real death, you have to live. Day by day. This is a Buddhistic understanding. This is a life. It's not Buddhistic teaching. This is a human life, wherever you are. Japanese and Americans, wherever you are. So most American people say I have to change my thinking and to Japanese way or Oriental way. I don't think so. I don't think you should have something to change. No. If you try to change your thinking, it's wrong. You become mad. Your life becomes muddied. So all you have to do is anyway be human. And when you do the thing, just do the thing anyway. That process make you understand deeply. So following to the Buddhistic way is not to change your life, not to brainwash, okay? Just to deepen your understanding, your life, that's all. Okay? Deepen. Enhance. That's all you have to do. So Zazen, how can you deepen? Zazen? Anyway, deepen your Zazen. What do you mean? Usually you understand Zazen in a dualistic sense. Success and failure. Oh, forget it. Anyway. So deepen, you have to soak yourself in the depth of the Zazen. Anyway. At that time, very naturally, you are deepened by Zazen, Buddha's work. That is the best way, anyway. So it is not open to only the Japanese and the Oriental people. This is very universal. Okay? So this is a point that sometimes people misunderstand Buddhist practice. So if you try to change, that's pretty hard. You know, I am Westerner. You're Japanese. I don't like a Japanese way. Of course.